All right, everybody, welcome back to the Five Hole Taxi Squad podcast, a Five Hole Fantasy Hockey presentation. We are here with a special episode we are going to be calling, moving forward, Fresh Fares. And these are just going to be a quick hitter show of the week that was to see if we missed anything that stood out to us from a fantasy perspective. And this week is booming with takes, and we have a very special guest, but I will intro him after the intro here. So I'm going to start up the fares and let's get into it. Welcome in, everybody. We are back. I am your host, Craig, and I am riding solo for Fresh Fares, but only kind of. I have a very special co-host with me today to take you guys through some interesting takes from last week and the week that was. Everybody, please join me in welcoming Blake Creamer from Cream of the Crop, the Apples and Genos presentation, and a member of the Apples and Genos team. Blake, how we doing, man? How we feeling after week one? And welcome to the Taxi Squad podcast.
My man, oh, it feels good to get in the cab. This isn't a regular cab, everybody, all right? He's got bottled waters in here. I mean, there's fancy lighting and those dingo balls, all right? We appreciate that as well. So thank you for your service, my man. You guys are crushing over here at Taxi Squad. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking, my man.
Well, we're trying to keep it fresh for everybody. We want the van cab to be comfortable. We're glad to have you here, and I'm sure the listeners will be glad to hear your sweet take on the week that was and what's happening in the world of fantasy hockey and hockey in general. So the context for today between Blake and myself is we're just going to go through a couple of things here. We're going to go through what fired us up from last week, what disappointed us last week, and what gave us hope from the ongoings throughout the NHL schedule of week one and what happened in a fantasy hockey standpoint. But before we dive into there, you know, I invite all the listeners to follow us on Twitter. You'll see that in the show notes once the show's released. And I'm going to give a double shout out on today's show. Please, there's two great Discord communities, the Apples and Genos Discord and the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Discord. Tons of like-minded fantasy hockey individuals in both of those communities, all talking everything fantasy hockey and life in general, and just having a lot of fun and a lot of people fired up right now with week one now in the books. Also, you will see on the Five Hole channel now, Raj's Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Guide, Episode 3, the limited series, is out as of today, being October 16th. So get that in your ears. Always good stuff, especially if you're new to fantasy hockey or have started up your own league and feeling the heat from your GMs, potentially on your rules and or categories that they weren't aware of. And of course, my special co-host, you make sure you get that in your ears, Mr. Blake Creamer from Cream of the Crop, a Apples and Genos presentation. He is spitting fire with new episodes on the regular, and so is the Apples and Genos team. So get on their channel and subscribe. But both channels, lots of great content throughout the season. And I hope this is just a start of the collaboration between the two teams and Blake and myself. So get that all in you. You know, subscribe, 5 stars, give us all a like, and join the community. So Blake, my friend, why don't we get into this and
let's talk
a little bit of hockey and what we saw from last week. And we're going to start in the category of what fired us up.
What fired us up? Oh my gosh, this is going to be exciting, buddy. Let me know.
All right, so I'm going to hit it up first, and I'm just going to put an asterisk beside this, but it still fired me up. It was the Arizona Coyotes, one game in, okay? However, some extremely exciting things from a fantasy hockey perspective happening with that team, starting with Logan Cooley specifically. He's only 45% owned in Yahoo. You might want to go check that. But in game one, he had over 19 minutes total time on ice. He had 2 shots, 1 block, 1 hit, 2 points in that game, both assists on the power play. He had a 52% power play share from playing on power play one with his fellow power play one teammates in Sean Drewsy, new to the Coyotes, Barrett Hayton, and Nick Schmaltz, and obviously their best player, Clayton Keller. Now, Jersey is an interesting one for me, Blake. 58% owned in Yahoo. Everybody just needs to go check. This man had 23.26 total time on ice in game one, 3 shots on net, 2 PIMs, and the most important part was he had a goal on 3 shots on the power play. And I think he was 3rd on the team in power play share, which is really interesting because I know there was a debate going into the season between himself, Valimaki, maybe even Moser getting some run on PP1, but Jersey from the defensive side of things in Arizona, you know, he led the way in power play share on PP1. And then Baird Hayton, I think everybody was kind of maybe wondering what his role was going to be with the emergence of Logan Cooley in the preseason. And don't get me wrong, Cooley's been fantastic and really exciting to watch. However, Hayton got run in game one, 20 minutes, 50 seconds, total time on ice, 4 shots on goal, and 1 block. Now, he didn't have any points, but he had 68% of the power play share. So he's still getting some really good run on PP1. Everybody knows who Clayton Keller is, their best player. We don't need to go in depth with him, but he has 2 points in game one, 1 on at even strength and 1 on the power play, and led the team in power play share. No surprise there. But I think these 4 individuals playing regularly with him at even strength and on the power play only have more upside now. That even gives Keller, though, people that own him more upside because he's playing with even more high-end skill now that Cooley's joined the team and Drewsy's joined the team, especially on the power play. And then last but not least, I think maybe everybody's streaming Darling because he does struggle to stay healthy, but maybe this year is going to be different. And Arizona has a prime schedule this week with 4 games. He's only 35% owned. It might be a little too late in the day on Monday the 16th, but go check and see if Nick Schmaltz is there. He is dual eligible at center and right wing. Go get this guy. I think, you know, me personally, Blake, I think he's a longer term hold just on the way this team looked on Friday. He skated 21-27 total time on ice. He had 2 shots on goal. He had 2 points, 1 goal, 1 assist, and his goal was on the power play. And he's 2nd on the team behind Keller on power play share with 74% of that ice time on the power play. And then last but not least, the guy who also fired me up, who I think is a very viable 0G hold, is Valjmelka. 36 save win over an extremely strong New Jersey Devils team, now sitting at a goals against average of 2.7 and a 9.17 save percentage. And he stole that game on Friday against the Devils late in the third. I was talking to a listener today about his viability, especially this week. Him and Ingram were probably going to split the 4 games and see 2 starts. So if you're streaming him or even going to, I think he's viable as a third goalie. He's definitely somebody who's on my radar. I even have him a couple spots as a third goalie. But yeah, the Coyotes, specifically Cooley, Drewsy, Hayton, and Schmaltz really fired me up through week one. What do you think about that, Blake? Give me your thoughts.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. No, I'm so with you. I mean, you know, if you've listened to any of our content over the offseason, Arizona is a team we are low-key excited on for fantasy purposes, right? And yeah, like one thing I loved about what I saw in Arizona is the deployment these top guys got. They're getting some crazy run. Like they're all over 20 minutes, basically. Even Cooley got over 19 minutes, which is, that's exactly what you want to see. That's a coach clearly thinking about us fantasy managers and giving us a hand, right? We need these guys on the ice. But yeah, Cooley to me, obviously all these guys, you got to have them rostered for this week in particular. Like, you know, Cooley is 45% owned, which is so strange because Hayton is 15% owned. And I would rather have Hayton than Cooley, right? I think there's much more safety in Hayton. He's locked on that top line, in my opinion. Cooley's value is really going to come from being on that power play, but he's a beauty. Oh, man, the future looks really bright there in Arizona, so I'm stoked on Cooley. And yeah, the power play one mystery, I think, is going to be put to rest. It's only been 1 game, but Durzi showed out. I mean, ridiculous power play time on ice, blasted a goal from the point. He's bought himself probably another week of power play one there. And I think it's the right decision as well. He's a very good offensive defenseman, has his defensive shortcomings, but, you know, I like that. And then, you know, Keller to me was drafted. I thought he was drafted a little high in draft season, but he's going to be great. He's a dual eligible guy. I'm excited about the player. And I like vegetable lasagna as well. That's Karel Vemelka. So yeah, he's a great 0G option. I have him in a couple spots. I got a couple guys that fired me up as well, Craig, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this. You know, we don't have to go too long on this, but what about big Brock Besser, buddy? 5 points in two games, including a 4-goal explosion. What'd you think of this man?
Look, I think, you know, we spoke actually on our Quick Fares pod as a team on the Vancouver and the Canucks, and I had a sneaky suspicion you were going to bring them up with their hot start with 12 goals over two games. And look, I think we spoke, the team at the squad spoke on the depth of the Canucks, but we also spoke, and I brought up, it's nice to see what is possible with a healthy Brock Besser layered into that outstanding top six, right? Like, not to say that he's going to sustainably score at that clip, but is he a 30 goal scorer if he can play all 82, especially playing with the likes of Miller and Pettersson? I think absolutely. You have two, I would hope, in Kuzmenko taking a step forward and shots on goal, you have two shoot first wingers playing with Pettersson and Miller. Hopefully Besser can show that he can play a full 82, and I think you've got a 30 goal man there, and what, maybe a ceiling of 65 points, somewhere between 60 to 65 points with 30 goals. You're not going to shy away from that, especially if he can maintain the power play deployment as well. I think you're looking at something real spicy and in a position of scarcity at right wing, right? And now what, everybody who owns him now got him off waivers? Yeah. There might be a sneaky, you know, smaller 10-team league or 8-team league that somebody, you know, or a deeper league that actually drafted him because either they're a Canucks fan or a deeper league and you needed that from a right wing. But I would imagine people are going to ride him until he goes cold, or hopefully, you know, doesn't. And if you found that off the waiver in week one, that's a spicy ad for any fantasy team moving forward.
Oh, absolutely, buddy. One thing that is really going to be key, like you said, just to your point, he's got to get that power play one, right? But, and he didn't have it last year consistently, but I really do think that he looks motivated. He's whipping the puck around. So I think he's going to kind of stick on power play one there. And I like him for, probably 65 points, you know, ceiling maybe 70, right? If everything goes well. I did want to just touch on Jacob Chychrun as well as a player that was firing me up. We don't have to get too into that. You know, he's still on a power play too, but honestly, it hasn't mattered, right? This guy's got a crazy efficiency, goal scoring from the defense position. So he was very valuable, definitely a value in drafts. I got him, you know, pick 120 in some spots, like just ridiculous. So I'm super stoked on Chychrun. And then I got to talk about, see you at the party, Victor Hedman. You know, he's the power play one beauty, taking it over Sergachev over the first couple games here. So obviously the news we like to see here with Hedman as fantasy managers. This is an example of something that didn't make a hell of a lot of sense last season. It was like, you know, Sergachev's on power play one, Hedman, one of the best goalies in the league, power play two. What the hell are we doing here? But all's right in the world. This guy's got, you know, something like a 74% power play share. We'll see how long it lasts. You know, I think John Cooper's probably going to get the last laugh and trolling us all. But for now, Hedman's on the top power play, and I'm loving it.
Blake, you see me getting a little upset here because it's a point of sadness for me.
Oh, no. Sorry, buddy.
Because I have Sergachev in many, many spots. And to your point, Hedman is very much alive and well as a top-tier fantasy defenseman. And to Sergachev's dismay, Hedman actually has over 80% power play share.
Oh, there we go.
After week one. I do think that balances out. Everybody just take a deep breath. Sergachev is going to be fine. He still contributes very, very well across the categories. He's a strong third or fourth defenseman. I think you probably see a power play share in the 60-40 range, you know, still favoring Hedman as long as he's healthy, but still 40% share on that power play, being a top five unit in the league, still going to be strong output for Sergachev. I think maybe just the imbalance that we saw in week one maybe potentially has something to say about Sergachev's ceiling this year, because it's not going to be pushing 60 plus points if he's not getting the same share of the power play as he did last year. And then just to touch on Chychrun, guy's a beauty. I think he's the only defenseman on Ottawa that has 12 plus goals, you know, in the cards. I'm a big fan of all three of them. It's a, you know, a, and a celebration of riches for the Ottawa's back end in terms of Sanderson, Chychrun, and Chabot. Look, the power play share still goes to Chabot after week one. Not surprising there. I think it probably balances out at some point because Chabot's not a shoot-first defenseman. He's a pass-first defenseman. If they see that the power play's lagging a little bit in scoring, I could see Chychrun either getting on that other point or taking Chabot's spot just to pepper more shots at the net. So that helps Chychrun's ceiling immensely. But I still think you're looking at a 50-point defenseman regardless with strong peripherals. Another guy like your Besser hit there, I want to see him play a full 82 like he did a couple of years ago. And then I think everybody's laughing who got him late, just like you did. I unfortunately don't have him in any leagues at all, but I am trying to trade for him in a couple of spots, but it might be a sell high, not willing to pay that price just yet. So
don't sell high, Craig. All right, come on. Wait it out, my man. Go down with the ship. Yeah, Sergachev's going to be fine. But yeah, I love Hedman this season. And he was going in the 70s.
I'm going to give something else that fired me up because I was thinking about it before we jumped on. And it is the juicy hot start. And not necessarily that either of these two are available. But where I want to go with it is from Sidney Crosby and Geno Malkin. And what that does for me is it makes Riley Smith, Ricky Rax, and Brian Rust, who looks rejuvenated from last year, very, very palpable fantasy hockey assets moving forward. With Ricky Rax also contributing hits-wise, Riley Smith shooting at a solid clip to start the season. Both of them are dual eligible. And like I said, Brian Rust, 30-goal guy from a few years ago, everybody maybe thought he was kind of on the downturn. Something was going on. He looks rejuvenated. He's playing at that level that probably everybody remembers. And so that's just another juicy take there that I wanted to throw to you and get your thoughts. I think, you know, anybody playing with Geno and Crosby has upside, but playing with the level that we saw from Crosby and Geno in week one and the skill now around them only elevates that top six even more. And Riley Smith is very readily available, and Rust is as well in many leagues. So those are two guys that, for the listeners, I would argue that they could be holds, potentially not this week, as Pittsburgh has I think only a 2-game sched, if I'm not mistaken. But definitely if you can fit them in the bottom of your roster, those are definitely guys I would be looking to snipe early because it looks like they're going to be valid long-term, especially if Crosby and Geno can be Crosby and Geno like we saw in week one.
Yeah. Buddy, Malkin looks like he's been shot out of a cannon. I don't know what the hell this man ate, but can I have some? yeah, but obviously Pittsburgh, they're very motivated. I mean, the fact that they missed the playoffs last year too, that's got to piss them off, right? And I feel like that's kind of how they came out. I love and wasn't expecting Jake Gensel to be back in the lineup. So that's amazing news for Pittsburgh. Like everything's coming up aces for them right now, and including those guys you mentioned. I think of those players, to me, Raquel is the one that I'm interested in the most. I faded him this year because I honestly thought Letang was going to do, they were going to do two defensemen on the power play there, and they've decided to move Letang to power play too. So that's fine. You know, it does decrease a little bit of Letang's ceiling, but his floor is still insanely solid. But that means Ricky Rax gets to stay on power play one and eat. All right. So that's amazing news, and his value, it just maintains. Like we could see a season very similar to last season, including him beefing out of control with the hits. He does that. So plus, yeah, Brian Rust, very nice piece, right winger. He's having some really, he's putting some really good games together here, just in terms of the metrics, scoring chances, shots, all that stuff. So I like the player, but I like Ricky Rax first. I'd probably go Raquel, Rust, and then Smith, I think, in that order. But I mean, Smith is viable as well. Like if he's getting run with Malkin, doesn't, you know, he's getting on power play too, but yeah, Malkin looks great right now.
Unfortunately, Ricky Rax is one of my dudes, my guys for this season. He's not readily available. He's like 75 to 80% owned, depending on where you sit in your settings for Yahoo. But Riley Smith and Rust are for me looking to the horizon. Definitely want to stream them when Pittsburgh has a plum schedule, but they might be long-term holds if this team is back to what they were a couple of years ago. And to your Letang point, as late as he was going in drafts, and I know maybe he loses a little bit of value from not having PP1 currently, I think he's looked really good, right? And he's been contributing at even strength. He's still doing his thing and the hits and blocks rate. I'm not really sure that, okay, maybe he doesn't push the 70-point mark, but the way he contributes when he's healthy to hits and blocks and shots on goal, I still think 60 points is easily attainable for him, even if it's primarily through even strength. And the value, whoever drafted him, I have him in a couple of spots. Like, you got him really, really late because everybody was fading him, like you mentioned. So I think that's, I think there's just continues to be value there, especially if you're going to get a renaissance from Gino or a continuation from last year of what Gino can be. I think it just elevates everybody on that Pittsburgh team for sure. So let's cool down the flames a little bit in the Van Cab here, and let's talk a little bit about the disappointment from week one and where we maybe want to just address a few things and then walk some people, the listeners, back, including myself, and we'll get into that topic of just not to overreact, especially on your studs. And I say that because I want to touch on what disappointed me from last week, and that's the Buffalo Sabres start. They are ice cold and like frigid, like way deep down in the, you know, those deep coolers or the deep freeze coolers that your mom had back in the day.
The depths.
Where she kept the pizzas and the fudgicles and, and the frozen chicken that she'd cook on like a Friday night. They're way down there right now. They have not looked good. And I don't really know what's happening there. I'm a big Devon Levi believer. He hasn't looked good, but he hasn't had much help in front of him. He did play a little bit better after the first period in their second game. But this team last year, Blake, was third in goals for at almost four goals per game and had the ninth overall power play, just over 23%. They have started this year at 27th overall for goals for at 1.5 per game, and have the 29th ranked power play and have yet to score on the power play. And yes, I know it's a small sample size, and yes, I know it's only two games. However, this is the world that we live in the fantasy world. Everybody only sees what's in front of them. And what's the most frightening about this team is they were trailing in both those games, and Tage and Tuck and Skinner, their top line, were only getting 16 and change total time on ice in two games they were trailing. Why are we not riding our horses, Buffalo Sabres? Why? Like, what is happening? Tage and Tuck are almost down 2 minutes per game total time on ice to start the season. And that only hurts everybody else around them. Dylan Cousins, also, I think he was only at like 14 minutes in game two. Like, what is happening? Your prime players are not playing, especially when you're trailing in a game. This is very concerning to me, but from a positive standpoint, because I have Tage in many places, and he hurt me this week. He did. He let me down. He's still shooting, which is good. This is a buy low opportunity on all three of them from their top line. Cousins, the peripheral guys that play with Cousins, this is an opportunity to go get those quick trigger GMs that overreact after week one and maybe want to shoot people into the sun. You know, a nice little caveat there. Zach Benson has looked pretty good. I still think he gets sent down after the 9-game shot, but young man looking real nice dynasty piece for whoever's got him. I don't know what your thoughts there, Blake, but and then you can dive into what disappointed you from this week.
Yeah, I mean, with the Buffalo Sabres, we're not angry. We're just disappointed, all right? We're just disappointed in these Sabres here. Yeah, they're freezer burnt at the bottom of the freezer. That's fine. But two games in, this is nothing to worry about. Like, yeah, we've had some kind of a disturbing trends, like you said, the ice time. That's really the weird thing there. But I honestly think, like, this, they haven't had a coaching change. It's the same guy that played these guys a ton of minutes last season, right? And hopefully this season they were supposed to get more, not less. So that's not exactly what we want to see. But I'm not concerned at all. Like you said, under the hood, Tage is still looking good. You know, it's been two games. I think, you know, I read a tweet somewhere too, but like the middle stat line there with Benson, like they were just playing really well. And they seemed to be the only line that was really engaged in the first couple games, especially that second one. So I think it was a bit of a message sender from the coach just to the top guys, like, hey guys, you know, season started, like, let's get the biz, right? So that said, I like your point about the buy low. You know, probably not going to be able to get Tage, unfortunately, right? It's only been two games, but you might be able to get Skinner. You might be able to get Tuck, right? For some real good value. So definitely take a look there. To me, Levi wasn't a guy I was interested in this season. I actually, in a 16-team league, it's hard to do 0G in a 16-teamer, that's for sure. Especially, we didn't have goalie limits, so some people took three goalies, and then, you know, at the end of my draft, I'm like, UPL? Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen? Okay, I'll take a ride, right? But, you know, so when Devin Levi plays poorly, I get kind of excited. I'm like, yeah, okay, put UPL in. That's nice. But yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Levi, but he's going to be much better. The Sabres are going to be much, much better. You don't forget how to play hockey. You don't forget how to, you know, control your offense. And this is a very good offensive team. I still think they're going to be, you know, this season's New Jersey, basically. Like, I think they're going to surprise everybody. But yeah, I mean, this is not the start we wanted. I think, well, first off, I'll throw this to you, Craig. Out of Skinner or Tuck, who do you think is maybe gotten as a buy low candidate? Who would you target there?
Honestly, I think it's got to be Tuck for me. I think there seems to be, in the fantasy universe, there seems to be a lot more down talk on Tuck's early performance. I think even in game two, he was also down below 15 minutes.
Yeah,
that's yucky for a guy who's supposed to be on the top line, probably north of 17 minutes, at least at a minimum, you know, pushing that 30 goal mark. Don't even think he had a good shooting game in game two either. Like, I think there's people kind of questioning maybe should he not be there, but let's, like you said, everybody take a deep breath. They're going to be fine. But for me, if I'm going to go after somebody, it's going to be buy low on Tuck. I think Skinner and Tage will be fine. Like, they showed last year, they're a deadly pair when they're playing at the top of their games. I think Skinner will still push that 80 point threshold that he pushed last year, you know, that close to that point per game. I don't think either of them are, and I think, you know, the savvy fantasy general manager knows that they're not going to sell low on Tage or Skinner. And, you know, coming from a Tage owner, I also have Skinner in a lot of spots. I would not sell low on them. Like, they're going to be fine. But when you have a line that's supposed to be, you know, 40 goal potential, 60 goal potential, and 30 goal potential, that looks kind of vanilla to start the season, and not getting the time on ice that they should be. And I think, like you said, they will net out for them to have that time on ice. It is concerning. It's eye-opening. It's like you said, it's like when you come home when you're 14 and you're drunk and your mom says, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. You know, that's what the Buffalo Sabres did to me today, over week one.
They hurt your feelings. Yeah, I'm with it, man. I like Benson, though. I do. I think he'll get run. I think he'll play, probably stick up for the season. I don't see why they would drop him down. This guy's flying out there. He's really good at puck retrieval. He's been kind of that guy on their line there, and obviously his offensive skill is you know, pretty advanced as well for his age and prospect status. So yeah, I'm low-key interested in the player. I've got him on my watch list here and there. My disappointing player or team is going to be the Oilers. Their slow start and kind of what went on with their goaltending there. You know, I don't have too much to say on it other than this has been the problem with the Oilers for years. They got two of the top three players in the entire league, and we can't get to the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, what are they doing over there? I mean, the Campbell signing didn't make sense when they did it. And yeah, now even though he's only making $5 million, it still makes no sense. And then Skinner's not looking any better. You know, they just look like a couple of sieves right now. I know things are going to normalize there. I still think the Oilers are going to be obviously very strong, but damn, what a crazy start. I'm so glad that I avoided guys like Skinner and Campbell. Like, it was a true timeshare, and we still don't know what the situation is there. But I mean, you got to be hating life if you got one of those goalies just to start your season. And then Evander Kane as well, is just a player that I'm high on this season, and he kind of hasn't done too much here over the first two games. Yet to get a point, not really a big issue, but he hasn't been shooting as much as I expect Evander Kane to. Only four shots in two, so that sucks. But, you know, he hits, he bangs, he does that 9 hits. I like that. And I just saw a tweet today that they are now going to, they're changing the lines up a bit. So it's going to be Draisaitl, McDavid, and Evander Kane on the top line there. So he's still power play too. Yeah. So, buddy, I mean, this is why you drafted Evander Kane, right? In a points league anyway. You're like, he has access to these guys. And now he's got access to both of them. I mean, that is just silly because Evander Kane's no slouch. Like, this guy can get the job done. I've got him projected for 30 to 35 goals this season. So, yeah, they're gonna be fine. It's just been a stinky start for the
I think this is a topic that came up on our Quick Fair show with the guys from the squad. You know, there's two playoff teams that aren't in a sleepy lull, obviously, Vegas and Boston. They're still very, very good, okay? Lots of value to be had there. But the likes of Edmonton, the Kings, Dallas, the Kraken for sure, and the Florida Panthers, all playoff teams from last year, all off to very sleepy, kind of gross starts. And then it kind of goes back to like what we were talking about with the Sabres. Obviously, nobody is selling low on McDavid or Draisaitl, but I wonder, buy lows for Kane, for Hyman, for Nuge. Those are all pieces that everybody still, you should want. This is going to be a top three, if not a top power play unit in the NHL. I'm interested in your take, you know, that since you brought them up, you know, Bouchard hasn't been great to start. He hasn't been bad, but he's not kind of taking the reins and running with it. Their power play still looks deadly for sure, but it doesn't look like Bouchard is as involved as I had hoped he would be, at least to start the season. I wonder on your thoughts on that one.
But yeah, I have no concerns about Evan Bouchard whatsoever. This is like, if you just look at just some of his basic stats, like his time on ice is sky high, right? He's just under 25 minutes. So that's great. His power play share through two games, 94%.
No competition. Right? No competition.
Yeah, not even close. So he's averaging six and a half minutes power play time on ice. So that's nice. He's averaging 5 shots over two games. I mean, it's two games, but that's nice. And he's got 2 power play points. So, if this man does, you know, minimal even strength, he's still going to blast probably 30 power play points, right? So we're looking at 55 to 60 points with, obviously, we know the ceiling here if Edmonton's power play starts going off. So I think with Evan Bouchard, it's more just a product of the Oilers' slow start and kind of uninspired start right off the bat. And I don't think he's alone in kind of looking a little lost out there. You know, even McDavid and Draisaitl at times, like it's not the Edmonton Oilers that we know. It's like, this feels like preseason Edmonton Oilers, right? They kind of need to kind of step it up and start humming here. But I think that's going to happen. And Bouchard's going to, like you said, there's no competition. So to me, this guy's, you got to be very happy and feel safe
absolutely,
with Evan Bouchard
absolutely.
There.
Okay. So let's move into, you know, let's get out of that freezer. Let's get out of the cold. And let's be clear, just as a caveat, Buffalo and Edmonton are going to be completely fine. But those peripheral top six guys, maybe you want to just go check on your fellow GMs in your leagues. Maybe you can get some real value in a trade there. And those are definitely guys you still want on your roster, even if somebody's panicking and ready to punt them into the sun. But we want to jump into what gives us hope heading out of week one and into week two and beyond. And I know you're going to like this topic because you and I have spoken through Twitter and Instagram over the last few months about our common love for one of the players on this team. But the Columbus Blue Jackets have given me hope heading into week two. And specifically, Boone Jenner, Kirill Merchenko, the King, Mr. Elvis Merzlikins, and one of their up-and-coming young high draft capital players in Adam Fantilli. Now, they are 1-1 through their two games with an outstanding win on Saturday night against the Rangers, where Boone Jenner had a beautiful hat trick, a natural hat trick. But I want to talk about Merchenko first, because I had a pretty hot take in our divisional previews that this kid was going to pop based on his second half last year. I'm not going to say that I'm right for sure because it's way too early, but this is a young man who has some finishing pedigree as a right wing only, so a position of scarcity. He has 3 points in 2 games, all apples, all assists. all at even strength. He's still shooting, so 4 shots on goal. He has 1 hit, 3 blocks. Ice time's a little low, but, you know, just over 15 minutes average time on ice through 2 games. But he's skating on line 2 with Goudreau and Jenner. You could argue that that's line 1. And he has 64% of the power play share on power play 1. So this is a young man who, from his rookie season, is an efficient goal scorer and has yet to score a goal, has all of his points on even strength, and is skating with an extremely hot Boone Jenner right now, and a lukewarm Johnny Goudreau, who's been good to start the season, but he's not Johnny Goudreau yet. So I think there's only more opportunity for this young man if he can maintain this deployment, especially on the power play. I want to go back to Boone Jenner because I know you're going to have a lot to say about this man, because I think there was a lot of people fading him a little bit too far for my liking. I have him in many spots. He does everything. He shoots, he hits, he blocks, he scores, obviously. Maybe a little bit unsustainable off of Saturday night, but he looks like, through 2 games, a man on a mission this year to prove, I think, 1, he can stay healthy, and 2, he can produce, and 3, Fantilli's not taking my job just yet, right? And I think a lot of people have talked about it. I think, I'm sure you and the Apples Genos guys have talked about it. He's going to insulate Fantilli, at least for the first half of the season, depending on how Fantilli takes off. And Fantilli's off to a little bit of a slow start, only has 1 point through the 2 games, but he has looked good at even strength, 4 shots on goal. Ice time's a little low, but he is now on the left wing on line 1 with Patrick Laine still being at center and Alexander Texier. And it was still getting 33% of the power play share through those 2 games. So I think this is still a team that has untapped upside around the likes of Johnny Goudreau. And even with a unlucky injury from Zach Werenski, which was lucky to only be a 2-week, 3-week thing, he'll be back. They still looked really good on Saturday night defensively. And Elvis Merzlikins was a big part of that. He looks legitimate. He looks like a viable 0G goalie that you either got late or you've streamed in now. For me, if you do practice the strategy of carrying third goalies, go get him right now. And he should be your third goalie moving forward. Yes, he's sick. He's battling a stomach bug, but he will be back. He's only going to miss a couple of starts from the last reports I saw. He's only 24% owned. So this is a goalie you can get. And he's off to an extremely strong start in a much improved team, you know, with better defensive play in front of them. I think this team is only trending up. And I think there's so much potential for the young pieces around Jenner and Goudreau and Laine, just because of Laine still not, he's lukewarm as well. And Goudreau hasn't even heated up either. So if you have Goudreau and Jenner and Laine still trending upwards, and then those young pieces can take a step and you still get sound defensive play behind them, I think there's tons of fantasy value on this team. And Kirill Marchenko is only 10% owned, and they do have a good schedule this week from a streaming standpoint. So he is a very good streamer if you have a utility spot or a right wing spot open. I think they have 2 off nights. You know, that's a guy that I would want in my lineup with his hot start for this week especially. And then you see if he can maintain that deployment. I'm going to leave it to you because I know you love Mr. Jenner. So you let me know what you think about that.
Buddy, it was such a fun way to start the fantasy season. Like, you know, everybody knows, anyone who listens to my content knows I talked this man up. I just love Boone Jenner. So I think this is a long time coming. You know, he's 47% owned in Yahoo right now. But before that, before this Hattie, he was 36% owned. What the hell? What kind of leagues are these, right? This man should be owned across all formats. I've maintained that, you know, and I joke about it. You know, I make Boone Jenner's basically like my spirit animal, but, you know, he's a really good player and I'm not just blowing smoke. So I was glad to see what happened there. Boone Jenner, to me, when I first started kind of getting onto Boone Jenner and why I like him so much, is he legit has, if he stays healthy, a chance at 250 shots, 100 hits and 90 blocks. Plus like probably 50 to 60 points, including 30 goals. So What the hell? This is the guy you want on your team. And if he's 36% roster, that makes no sense. So anyways, shout out to Boone Jenner. I'm not going to go too long on that, but I really like the deployment there. And I'm so with you. Columbus is a gold mine, like low-key gold mine for fantasy assets, right? Marchenko is a great stream here. He's getting great deployment. He's on power play one. He's going to start cooking. He's got 3 assists. He only had 4 all last season. So he's about to smash. He's about to smash his career assist total, after just 3 games. So that's nice work there. And Fantilli, I'm a fan of. I picked him up late as a last round flyer in a couple spots. So yeah, I'm holding, but I mean, I'm not holding at all costs, right? Like his deployment's not amazing. I don't think this is the season of Fantilli. I didn't think that. It is nice he's getting on power play one occasionally here, but yeah, with Jenner there and playing the way he is, like he's their captain. He's only 30, Boone Jenner. So, I mean, it's not exactly like make way for Fantilli, right? It's like you said, insulate him and sort of bring him up the right way, put him in situations where he can succeed. So I think that's kind of what's going to happen. And then I'm so with you with Merzlikens as well. I have him in 3 spots. So, and he's come out flying. He looks really good. And this team is much better. I mean, when you get Provorov, Severson, of course, Zach Werenski gets injured in the first game by Ding Dong Hathaway, which I hate. He'll be back. Like you said, very lucky he won't be out that long. But he's got better players in front of him, Merzlikens. So I think, yeah, he's going to do much better. In terms of teams that are giving me hope, I kind of want to get your thoughts on Nashville really quickly. Their top line, especially Philip Forsberg. That's a guy that I think has shown out in the first couple games. He has 3 assists in 3 games, no goals yet, but under the hood, this man is flying, like shots on goal, scoring chances, all that stuff. And he's a beefer, right? He's not exactly doing that right now, but in category leagues, this guy's major value. And, you know, he was being drafted super late, like after, like 90 and after in draft season. So that sucks. But yeah, the big thing with the Nashville top line, the new head coach, Andrew Brunette, is given, he's on the top minutes for top players plan. And we love that in fantasy, right? Like, it's great for us. So Forsberg is getting beaucoup minutes right off the start, averaging just under 21 minutes a game in the first 3 games, right? He's shooting a ton. He's got a bigger power play share. So anyways, I just wanted to shout out Philip Forsberg. That's a player I'm excited about and a player you should target immediately for trades. And then Ryan O'Reilly, too, just a quick thing on him. He's only 27% rostered on Yahoo. The guy's averaging over 21 minutes. Okay, and he's got 2 points in 3 games, but line 1, power play 1, insane deployment. I think you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, I think Nashville has kind of shown out as a team in week 1, and they got a great start on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, from Soros. Like, they look like they're going to be able to compete as one of those wild card teams again this year, led by Philip Forsberg. And I think I saw a tweet this morning. He's 2nd in the league in shot attempts, and I believe he's in the top 5 in shots on goal. And again, he hasn't even scored yet, so that the goals are coming. I think he's always been a player that has 40 goal upside, especially with the time on ice going through the roof, right? Like, I think 2 years ago, he was only getting like 16 minutes on ice, right, when they were kind of shuffling those lines in Nashville. So it's nice to see them riding their horses. And I think that also speaks volumes in terms of the young players around them. Like, does Cody Glass hold power play 1 there? I'm not entirely sure with the likes of Tommy Novak around him, Luke Evangelista, Philip Tomasino, UC Parison. Like, these young guys are going to be riding shotgun to the Forsbergs, the Ryan O'Reilly, and the Yossis on this team, which only gives them, and I think all those young guys that I just named are all watch list players. They're all streamable when the Preds have a viable schedule, because you want those peripheral hits off players. Yep. Like Forsberg, like Ryan O'Reilly, like Yossi, from a team like Nashville. You know, those are the types of teams that we're looking to mine from right now, right? Coming out of week 1, even in the first month of the season, it's like, where's the peripheral value in the likes of a team that's up and coming, like the Columbus Blue Jackets, a team that maybe people expected to be worse than they actually are in the Predators, right? Like, these are the types of things GMs need to start thinking of, not panicking and making silly moves that actually are going to hurt you in the long term, right? And you don't have to burn your bench down. You don't have to say everybody who performed poorly last week is garbage and I'm going to try to move them. You have to now start thinking ahead of where can I find the value in these teams that look like they're going to perform better than we expected, or where can I find the value in these teams that have disappointed a little bit? to begin the season. And I think we've given the people out there what they were looking for, a little bit of extra heat on the week one and insight there. I'm going to give you something just because we were talking about it, and somebody, a listener, asked me this. And you need to remove your Jenner bias, okay?
Okay, okay, I'll try.
So this individual has been offered Boone Jenner and Devin Toews or Jacob Chychrun for Vince Dunn and Sam Reinhart. And it is a, I actually was just reading it this morning. I haven't answered the individual. It is a head-to-head points league with a hits and blocks component. What are your thoughts on that trade?
Okay, so who was the first defenseman? Boone Jenner and
one
who?
Of Devin Toews or Jacob Chychrun for Vince Dunn and Sam Reinhart.
I'd do Boone Jenner and Devin Toews for sure. I'd make that trade. Yeah, Sam Reinhart is a guy I'm very high on this season. I think he's going to have a massive season. I love Boone Jenner, don't get me wrong, but we're talking a points league, right? With Banger waiting, that's fine. His value is increased there. But yeah, Devin Toews, to me, he's still only kind of a 50-point defenseman. He's an amazing defenseman in real life, but in terms of fantasy, like, you know, he's his value only is I'd almost rather have Bo Byram than Devin Toews. So to me, it, like, if Cale Makar gets injured, then Devin Toews is, he's going to be amazing, right? But until then, he's just a 50-point defenseman. So you got him and you're getting rid of Boone Jenner for Reinhart and Vince Dunn, who's going to be power play one quarterback there in Seattle. And they've had a crap start too. So that might be a little bit of a buy low situation. I like it. You got to smash that, my man. I'm sorry. Thank you, Boone Jenner, for your service. But we got to get Reinhart on the team and do it now.
Just before we sign off, and again, Blake, I really appreciate you making the time to co-host with me on Fresh Fares. Give me something that's on your mind from week one and what you're moving forward with for week two from that thought.
Yeah, basically, well, I mean, I'm just excited, first off. Like, we've had a great start to the hockey season. You know what? I'll give you a little piece. I think, obviously, this isn't rocket science, but Calgary has an amazing schedule next season, and I think you got to go out and you got to get someone like Andrew Mangiapane. You got to get Mangiapane or Coronado and do it pretty quickly, right? Because they've got an amazing schedule. The other guy I want to talk about who I'm super high on, and I did end up picking up in like four spots, and I'm probably, he's 5% rostered, so, and I'm probably like a, you know, one full percent of that. Daniel Sprong, the slinky Daniel Sprong. Oh, that shot monster per minute, a beauty. So I love Daniel Sprong because Detroit has an amazing schedule as well. So go pick up one of those three guys. You're going to like the way you feel, I guarantee it.
Yeah, I like the streamers of the week close here. So Daniel Sprong, Andrew Mangiapane, and who was the third guy?
Coronado. Go get Coronado. Or if Noah Hanifin's out there for some reason, you got to pick
him. And Matty Coronado from the Calgary Flames. All great. All great selections. But I'm going to give the listeners two more just from a prime deployment. I'm going to say go get Nick Schmaltz now and hold him through the week because you want to ride that young man while he's healthy because for some reason he explodes and then he gets hurt. So ride it now while you can. And then you get rid of him once he gets hurt. I don't want that to happen to Nick Schmaltz. I would love to see him actually play an 82-game season with Hayton and with Keller and see what he could actually do. So I hope for fantasy and for real hockey that happens. And then just go check on Lucas Raymond. He has been moved up to the top line with Dylan Larkin and the Cat and Alex DeBrincat, who are both off to, well, DeBrincat more specifically is off to a very hot start, and Larkin's going to be Larkin. And if Lucas Raymond can keep that deployment, you definitely want him, especially for this week with Detroit's great schedule and I believe three off nights. And then another guy that if you've missed out on those guys that Blake and I have just mentioned, go get JT Comfort. He's off to a very good start. He's getting over 20 minutes on ice with the Red Wings, and he is actually shooting a little bit more than he normally does. So again, another guy you can stream today, this week, for three off nights, and hopefully he maintains how hot he's been coming out of week one. And if he doesn't, you just punt him into the sun after this week. But I think that does it. That wraps it, Blake. I think that wraps our first Fresh Fares. So again, I appreciate your time and I'll do a quick plug for everybody again. You know, as always, like, subscribe, and follow us along on Twitter. Blake, why don't you give the people your Twitter handle?
Yeah, sure. Actually, you know, it's not Twitter anymore, Craig. It's X. Oh, sorry. All right? I'm sorry. We've been using Brand X, all right? And it feels wrong. What the hell? X. What is this? I don't know. Actually, who let Twitter fly? That's a weird name, too. Tweet? You know, this is what we're fighting for. I don't know. I'm digressing. Anyways, yeah, my X/Twitter is at Blake Creamer AG. Head on over there. I'll also give you Nate's. It's at Apple's Genos. Definitely check that out. We're putting some stuff out there on the regular.
Yeah, and don't forget about the Taxi Squad from Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. You'll find all of our Twitter handles in the show notes once this gets released. Join the two Discords, Apples and Genos and Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. If you're not in there, get in there. It's a beautiful place to be. Lots of hockey talk going on, especially since week one exploded. Really exciting time, Blake. Hockey is fully back in the fold. Fantasy hockey is flying. You know, I wish you the best of luck throughout your season. I'm sure we'll do some collaboration throughout the season for the people, either on the Apples and Genos channels through Cream of the Crop or back here with the Taxi Squad on Fresh Fares. And I look forward to it, man. Thanks for making the time. It was a great conversation. I would say goodnight, but it's in the middle of the day. So long for now, everybody. We'll park the van cab. We'll turn off the fares. We will talk soon. It's all love, Blake. We'll see you down the road, man. Enjoy week two. Let's go get some wins.
Thanks for having me, my man.